Jesus spoke to Mari. He says, no. He says, you need to go to Family Bible Church because you need to seek the Lord first, and then all the other things will be added to you. So I called up the Corbins after 6 long years, and Marcia answered the phone. And so I came back to the church, and, you know, and I just can't. One of the things I struggle with, you know, with this church in particular, because we are a small family, and, you know, and it's consisted of families, with the exception of Gerald and myself. It's all families. And you guys have made me feel like a part of your families, and we are a big family under Christ. But one of the things I struggled with was, you know, because I have to constantly fight off that father of lies. And, you know, when I knew I wanted to come back to Family Bible Church, after a 6-year absence, I knew there'd be several new faces, several new families. And I'm thinking, how are they going to feel with, you know, about a 40-something-year-old guy who's never been married, never had kids, coming and joining this nice congregation of all these nice families? And so, and I had a good conversation with a couple of guys in the assembly yesterday, who I love very much. I love all you guys, but I was explaining to Chuck yesterday about how, you know, one of my struggles is that, you know, that one of the lies that he tries to get me to believe is that I'm not wanted. You're not wanted. You make everybody feel uncomfortable, but nobody has the guts to tell you that. So perhaps you shouldn't be with, you know, with this church. But I know in my heart that is a lie. And, you know, by spending the weekend here with you guys, with all the love that's here, you know, I've always been a kind of guy that's, it's hard for me to say that word, but I want each and every one of you to know that I love each and every one of you guys, and you bring a lot of joy to my heart, because my secular friends, when they found out I have the Lord, they scattered like roaches. And so now I'm left with mom and dad and my church family, and I love you guys very, very much. Thank you.
We started going to Family Bible 3 years ago. Sorry. And we've come and heard prayers for Jimmy. So we felt like we already knew him before we met him. Because every time we come on Wednesday evening, we're praying for Jimmy. So when we came to family camp that year, we were in the parking lot. My daughter come out of the car looking at this strange man walking in the parking lot like, he doesn't go to our church. Why is he here? You know, but in my heart, I know this must be Jimmy. So I approached him and said, you must be Jimmy. And he said, yes, I am. I said, you're the man we've been praying for. And that's all Annabelle had to hear. And my kids are now glued like flies to Jimmy. They look forward to seeing Jimmy. They pray for Jimmy. Jimmy has become part of the family, and that we love you like your family as well. So you're prayed for often and thought of a lot. So you are very much part of this big family.
I mean, we're both tall and have brown hair, but yeah. Okay, I'm going to try and get through this. When we came this time 3 years ago, we had just lost a baby. We just sent another baby halfway around the world, not knowing when he was going to come home. And we had just lived through 6 days of Emmy going through one of the hardest times of our lives. And it was a blessing to us to be here. What's even a bigger blessing is that last year, we picked up one of our babies on the way home, on the way here from the airport, and God brought Silas home. And we had Emmy and nothing, no brace, no anything. Mark and I both get emotional about this. So the first year, we didn't get to go up the mountain. The second year, we went up the mountain, and Mark carried Emmy. And this year, Emmy went up the mountain without barely any help at all. She was holding a hand. She never got carried at all. And we are just so amazed at what the Lord has done in our family's lives. Because now we're welcoming a new baby into our home. And just seeing how God has brought us from what we felt like was one of the hardest times of our lives, or we know is one of the hardest times of our lives, to where we are now, and seeing how God is working in Emmy's life. And y'all all know we have no clue what her life is going to be like, but to see her just continuing to grow and her joy, because she's made us get up every day this week and smiling and laughing and happy and ready to go. Mark and I are both like, but she's like, she is, what am I doing? Okay. She is just, you know, she's ready to go, and she's full of I love yous and hugs and just the joy. And we just pray that that continues in our family with the joy of Jesus. So
the other thing is, the other baby got to go to the mountain too already, which scared me half to death, but that's beside the point. That's right. The baby was carried. I'm just thankful that the Patricks could be here. And always thankful for how my wife always gets everything together. Being able to talk with Hunter and see his family here, and then Jimmy's here, and, you know, too bad that the other younger families couldn't be here, but it's just a good experience. You get to learn about God. You get to be with church family. And you get to see people in their ugliest state in the morning sometime. But I'm thankful that Gerald could be here, and that, again, just the opportunity for all the young and the old to be here. How about wiser? To have the Patricks here, and they'll be able to get up and down the mountain and the hill and everything else, and them sitting out there with us at the Olympics, and Just everybody coming together, everybody kind of doing a little bit to chip in to get everything here. And, you know, just thankful that we do have a church body like this that desires to love one another. And I'm glad that the Snyders could be here and that we could start that relationship with one another. And I look forward to coming down there and playing games. But just thankful to everybody, and look forward to next year. And thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you to everybody for coming down to the pool. I know it wasn't mandatory, so I didn't really know who would, you know, was going to stop doing what they were enjoying doing and coming down there, but I'm so appreciative because this open means a lot to me. 40 years of marriage, and a little while knowing her before that, so and I used to kind of tease her about, you know, being a Catholic. I know when we first started going to church, one of the Sunday school teachers we had once, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but we were taking a Sunday school class, and he was talking about the cult of Catholicism. And she was kind of getting a little frustrated. But I asked her one time, well, when you die, where are you going? And she says, I'm going to, you know, like Catholics, you're going to go to purgatory and wait your turn, you know. And I used to tell her, well, you know, if you die for me and I said, I'm just going to keep going by. I will wave as I go by. But yesterday afternoon, she told me I won't have to slow down when we go past purgatory because, you know, she's going to be right with me if we go together. But I just want to thank everybody again because I really wasn't expecting, you know, everybody down there, and it was a good feeling for me. Thank you all.
No, amen. Amen to that. I just am so blessed that the Lord has allowed me to find this church. You know, we just have different seasons in our Christian walks. And I've been in the wilderness wandering and really giving up hope, actually. You know, I really actually considered right before I found you to just go home. You know, I was going to plan on going home and getting out of here because I didn't. Back to New York, yes. Yeah, no, not leaving the world, but going back to where, you know, the Lord shut all the doors, you know. And yet, you know, I knew in my heart, you know, he had another plan. But when I came here, there was just too many things that had happened that I wasn't emotionally prepared for this tsunami of wilderness that hit me like a ton of bricks. And I didn't have any support system here, spiritually speaking, you know. And, you know, so I did what I only knew to do, is to jump into evangelistic ministry downtown, get involved in the mission at Broad Street, and just serve there. And, you know, but still it didn't satisfy what I knew I was missing. And just being here just is... It's been a slow coming back, and God is filling my heart up, and I'm just so thankful for that. And I love you guys already because I am a like-minded Christian, and this is what family is really about in the Christian realm, if you even want to use that term, you know. Forever family. You are my forever family. I have a lot of friends, and I have a lot of family, but... Those are blood related, and they will not, most of them right now, will not be with me in eternity. You guys are going to be with me, and I love you all so much already. And so I just look forward to just allowing the Lord to fill me back up. Thank you.
behold, what manner of love. Great song. Straight from the Bible. You can either turn to it in the hymnal or turn to it in your Bible. We are. First, we'll get to do it all together, and then we'll split it. Do you want to be the on that side? Since, I mean, you're asking, I mean, it's kind of, okay, so we're going to do it together first, and then we'll split it, okay? So, all right, are you playing it, or are we just singing?
I can't play that.
No, no, right, so why don't you go ahead and play it the first time through, and then we'll do it acapulco on round, okay?
Yeah.
do act that way, though. We lift up our voice and sin. Anyway. I couldn't sing. I'm telling you, I was done. I thought that is too. I cannot believe it. Heavenly hash. He does this to me in Canada, too. All right. So, the heavenly hash starts off with when the roll is called up yonder. So, and we have done it here. And so, it's a string of choruses and songs, hymns that go in and in and in. Okay, so you'll just kind of have to track on with those as we go, but you'll know them, I think. Okay, so we're going to sing the first verse of When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, and then the refrain, and then we're going to go from there. Okay, so you just kind of track with me as we go on. Okay, ready?
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saints of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called yonder on the air. When the roll is called yonder, when the roll is called yonder, when the
Romans 4:19, and this is talking about Abraham, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And I think our God is just so amazing. And yet, we know he saved us, and that's where we stop. Oh, he saved me, so I'm good. I don't have to listen to him anymore. Or if I do listen to him, it's just so superficial, just not a depth of following him. And I just am so grateful that I can read his word, and everything he says, he will do. He is absolutely so faithful. And I have loved being here at camp, and I have loved the Bible study and the fellowship. And it is hard with a family of our size to be alone with God. So I haven't been able to find a good quiet moment. And then just yesterday, everybody was out busy. And so I sat in my room with God. And, oh, it was so refreshing. And I just miss my closet so much and being with God, just him and me. And I'm just so in love with him. I just think he is just absolutely amazing. And I just want to be obedient to him. And I get so frustrated when I don't walk so as obedient as I would like. And I get it when it's like that flesh pulls at me and I just follow it. And it just grieves my heart that I would follow my flesh when I have a loving father who loves me so much, died for me, and would do anything for me.
Are we on? Oh, we are. Good, good. Hey, you need something to write on. You got your paper and pen? We're going to write something, then we're going to stop that, and we'll go back to it later. So right now I'm coordinating the events in Puerto Rico. I'm telling my son, he's saying, do I need to do this? Yeah. So he's got to take down the fence upstairs because that'll blow away. And got to tie down the shed because that'll blow away. And he's got to put up hurricane shutters around the house. Not sure about the porch. We'll see what happens with that. We'll just see what happens. We'll see what happens. Not sure if we're going to get stuck in New York. Don't have a clue. So I'm really not worried about it. It's just the way it is. So anyway, hey, it's sweet to hear all the testimonies. It's just sweet to hear people comment. It's the local church. It's the Spirit of God working in the Word of God and people of God. And just very sweet. It's been good for us this weekend. Enjoyed our time with you, getting to know everybody. What's really good about my age is I get to know you, and then the next day I forget your name, have to get to know you again. So anyway. Okay, I need you to write some things down, okay? Now, here's what I do. We're just going to talk about 5 points, Gerald. These are our talking points, okay? So we're just talking about 5 points, and I just use my hand. It's an easy way to remember. I'm going to tell it to you, and then we're going to walk back through, and you can write it down the best way you can. Give yourself a little bit of space so you can add some verses and some illustrations, okay? So one way that you can share the gospel is you start off talking about your big finger. Big finger, that's what you call it in Spanish, okay? Your fat finger. And I just have a big God. Okay? You don't have to write this down. Hold on, just okay. So I have a big God. Something my big God is also, he's a good God. He's also holy and just. Are you holy and just? No, I am not holy and just. Okay? I am a sinner. 10,000 thoughts every day. How many are sin? Okay? And that leads me to the third finger, which talks about Jesus dying on the cross between two thieves. Okay? So I always hold up three. So we're going to talk about Jesus, okay, and how he took our sin. And he rose again. This finger tells me about my ring finger. Okay? Where did I get this ring from? That's right, I got married, but I lost that ring. And so this one I got from Walmart for $30. Okay? First one. It's at home. It's been cut off. I that's another story. Anyway, my finger got swollen up. And then this ringer just, so that's going to tell me about the gift of God. Okay, salvation is the gift of God. And then we get to the small finger, your little finger, and that tells me we become small. We become small, just we raise an empty hand and we call out to God for salvation. So those are talking points, and you can use them in any order. Or maybe when you're talking to somebody, you only have one. But what happens is that helps me to remember the totality of the gospel, what I need to do. Okay? So let's just go back through it. Fat finger tells me, yeah, I have a big God who is also, yeah, he's good, and he's also holy and just. Right. Right. So that's a good idea. There you are. Just drawing that hand right there. That's why I said listen to it first and then put it together. Yep. 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 Okay. And the index finger, that's very easy, isn't it? What's the index finger say? I am a... How dare you say that about me? Okay, yes. I'm a sinner. Points right back at me. Okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And your middle finger? Yeah, Christ took our sin, died on the cross, rose again. Yep. Mm-hmm. And the ring finger? It's a free gift. Salvation's a gift. Don't do anything. Not by works. And the little finger becomes small. Pretty easy, isn't it? Isn't that kind of an easy way to remember? Gerald, can you remember that? Well, tomorrow when you're working at Easy Go, you're working on forklifts and stuff, working on fingers. That's what you work on, fingers. Okay. You guys got this? Because now what you're going to do is you're going to turn and say it to your neighbor. You got to find a neighbor. Well, he's sitting by himself. He's got to find a neighbor. You got to find a neighbor, okay? Little finger, yeah, you become small. It's the smallest finger. You become small. You raise an empty hand to God. Yep. You offer nothing in exchange for salvation. Yes, Jimmy. It's a free gift. Yep. Is that what you can talk about? Someday you're going to be married and your husband's going to give you a ring. Okay, you got it? More or less? You got it? Did Gerald get it?
Yes.
He got, okay, good. Good, good, good. Good, good. It's the littlest finger. That's all. It's just a reminder. Okay? What it is, Zoe, is you're looking at your hands, say, okay, how am I going to fit points? What's this going to say? Oh, okay, yeah, I don't do anything. I just become small. Yeah, you humble yourself. Exactly. Yeah. I say to people, so what was your part when you got born? What did you do exactly when you got born? What did you do? You didn't do anything. You know, God did it all. I always go back to that. It's salvation. Salvation, God does it. You're born of God. Right. Okay, now we're going to totally switch gears, okay, and then we're going to come back to that. By the way, what time am I supposed to finish? It's 11:20. Okay, that's fine. So when they come, okay, good. Last night, the last slide that we showed was bmwmissionary@gmail.com. If you want to receive our sunspots, which comes out about every 3 weeks, drop me an email, okay? Just drop me an email. Do that. Next time I see you, what am I going to ask you? Thinking about what we've been talking about this weekend. Yeah, who are you shepherding? Oh, that's right. Now, this is a funny question, but that's all right. How many sermons have you listened to that weren't as interesting as last night? Well, I told you it was a funny question. I'm sorry. Did you enjoy last night? I enjoyed last night. Did you enjoy last night? Was that a good study together? Okay. How many sermons did you listen to that weren't as enjoyable as last night? You ever listened to sermons that were kind of dull, boring? All right. Was it good last night because of Bob? How dare you say that? No, it wasn't me. No. No, it wasn't me. What was it? Yeah, you guys are just in the Word of God. We're just sitting here working out the Word of God. Can you lead a Bible study? Okay, yeah, you can do this. It's like the guy, he's driving around, he's trying to get to Carnegie Hall, right? And he sees somebody, and he rolls down his window, and he says, "How do you get to Carnegie Hall?" And the person says, "Yeah, practice. Right, so you get going, doing your study, you learn to do it. For example, before I came, youth group Friday night, I gave a study, it was a great study, and they were half asleep. It was like, practice. Okay, you're always learning, okay? And it's not always great, but just get people involved, keep people, interested, and go for it. You can lead a study, believer or unbeliever. Oh, here's another one, too. Even with unbelievers, put it on them. Could we get together next time and you teach me John chapter 1? Okay? Why do I do that? Because what happens is that, come to me, I have to make it interesting. I have to make sure that you learn. It's all on me. Put it on them. You teach me. So if they go home, and in fact, give them that sheet, you go home and just start, and they're going to stumble and they're going to get everything wrong. That's all right. But they're thinking, and you've already achieved a whole lot, okay, just by doing that. Okay. All righty. Here's another question. From your teaching, what are you taking away? That was a question I did not ask last night. It's the last question on the sheet. And the question is, what are you taking home from this weekend, from the studies? Okay. What are you taking home? Okay, next question. Okay, anybody care to say anything? What is it the teacher wanted you to learn this weekend? Yeah, how to be good shepherds. Okay, good. Can somebody here please tell me the gospel? Let's just take a minute to define the gospel. What's the gospel? What are the things that need to be in place so that a person is saved?
They need to realize they're a sinner.
Okay, we're going to have sin. Excuse me? Yeah, repentance.
Only God, Jesus, can save them.
Say that again. Only by Jesus.
They can't merit God's favor.
Okay, it's not by works. Okay. Okay, forgiveness.
And that it's by grace.
Okay, it's by grace.
You need to understand the difference between
Okay. So if a Jehovah's Witness believes, if he says it's by grace and not by works and there's forgiveness, is he saved? What are we lacking? Jesus. What about Jesus? Yeah, okay, he died, and what else he do? Yeah, and who is he? Okay, right. You know why? Here's the thing. I do this all the time in my church. That's because I'm an evangelist, and so it's a natural application for me. It's just that I graduated from Bible college, and I couldn't tell you clearly what the gospel was. And I said, oh, that's not good. This is what I say all the time. God became a man. What holiday is that? Christmas. Oh, okay. So God became a man, died on the cross for our sins, rose again. What holiday is that? Easter. Yeah, that's that whole Holy Week. Yeah, Semana Santa, okay? So we got Christmas, and then we got the Easter holiday. God became a man, died on the cross for our sin, rose again. I trust in him, obviously, for the salvation of sin. He forgives me all my sin. Is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? I think it is. Are you guys okay with that? Okay.
All your sins, past, present, and future.
Yeah, okay. Now, if I'm wrong, you can correct next week. Okay? Well, I just think that's the gospel. Okay? I think if anybody truly goes to Jesus Christ, they're saying, the issue is sin. Okay? The issue is not, I need a better life or anything like that. The issue is, I'm a sinner. That's the whole issue. Okay? So we're looking to Jesus, who he is the answer for my sin. So we go to him and we say, I believe.
They're agreeing with God.
Yeah. God became a man. I believe that he died on the cross for my sin. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, please save me. Right. Save me from my sin. I think repentance is understood in that. Okay? All right. Okay. Now, are there any verses that tell us the gospel? Can you give me some? Yeah, excellent. What's it say again? You confess? Wait. What are you confessing with your mouth? Jesus is Lord. Right. You see, do you see God, man? Jesus, humanity, Lord, deity. Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. God became a man, died on the cross for our sin. That's understood there. Rose again. I trust in him. Forgiven all my sin. Can you do it with me? God, do this with me. God, raise your finger. God became a man, died on the cross for our sin, rose again. I believe in him. He forgives me all my sin. Okay, turn to your neighbor and do that. That way I can get a drink of water. God became a man, died on the cross for our sin, rose again. I believe in him. He forgives me all my sin. Okay? Alrighty. Another passage that says, this is the gospel I preach to you. 1 Corinthians 15. Right? Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. Tell me some examples in the Bible where people, you actually see their prayer. Show me an example from the Bible of a sinner's prayer. Give me another one. Yeah, it's interesting because he's in a different time, right? Oh, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Exactly. Okay. Another one. Huh? And Peter says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. You know what's interesting, though, for me? Not a lot of examples of prayer. Paul, a Philippian jailer. Sir, tell me what we need to do to say. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, you and your house. Oh, Lord, I believe this. I confess. You don't see it. It's just very seldom. And I think maybe God, what God is doing is he's keeping people from doing what I did, which is say a prayer. If you say this prayer, then you get saved. Because words don't save you. What saves you? Yeah, your faith. Yeah, by grace through faith. Right. But it's interesting because look at the thief on the cross. It's like, I was thinking about it this morning because we have a lot of JWs. And it always stresses me out to talk. It's hard for me to talk to JWs. Jehovah's Witness. Yeah. And when I was thinking about it, I thought, whoa, this is a good thing. This is a good thing for Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, because he says, today you will be with me in paradise. And I don't care how they translate today, but the truth is, you will be with me in paradise. What did the thief do? Well, think about it. What was his faith? Well, no, but think it through. What did he say?
Jesus didn't deserve what was
yeah, but he said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. What's he saying? You're going to raise from the dead. You're going to come in your kingdom. So I don't know how much this guy knew, but he had faith. And that was his faith. And Jesus said, I say to you, that's it. You know? Right. Right. Heard, seen, who knows? Yeah. It's.
Have that information.
Well, someday you'll talk to him.
Yes.
Well, actually, I think in at least one of the Gospels, we're told that both thieves are hurling insults. And then this guy changes during the course of presidency.
Did they? This guy originally was hurling insults?
That doesn't mean he didn't have some back.
Is that what the Greek says? Okay. That's what the Greek says? I'm giving him a hard time. Both thieves were hurling insults at him. At some point, this thief changed. Yeah. Yeah. We talked the other... Now, all right, before we go, okay, let's keep going. Do it to your neighbor. God became a man. Died on the cross for our sin, rose again. I believe in him. He forgives me all my sin. Okay, go. Okay. Now, let's do the first one again. Okay. Go to your neighbor. I have a great God who is also holy and just. Okay. So maybe you're following the example from Evangelism Explosion and you meet with somebody and you start talking to them, you show an interest in their life, and then you switch over and you ask them about their spiritual life, what church did you grow up in, or anything that you might want to do. You somehow bring God into the conversation. Maybe you would ask them, so tell me, if you were to die today, why would you go to heaven? And they said, I'm a good person. Does that fit? No, it doesn't. And so one question I could ask them is, okay, I understand you're a good person. I understand what you're saying. So why did Jesus die on the cross? and they'll give you the right answer. They'll tell you the right answer. Start working with them. Because people are going to say the right words, but they're just not going to believe. Just start teaching Jesus. Just start teaching Jesus, okay? Okay. Well, we're going to do a few more things. There are random opportunities. The other day when I was on the plane, that was a random opportunity. That guy was ready, and I don't know. I just pray for him. You know, God work in his life. I gave my email address, and just, you know, God work in his life. Excellent opportunity to share the gospel. It was a classic, seriously, it was a classic case of somebody who was just sitting there asking all the right questions and thinking all the right things. And you're just planting a seed. It was a great opportunity. But, you know, there's a lot of times opportunities just don't come my way. I have to go out looking for opportunities, okay? Sometimes you're kayaking across the lake and a fish jumps in your boat. Other times you have to go out and you have to go fishing, okay? And if it's not good fishing there, you go to a different place and you go fishing. How are we going to go fishing? How's Family Bible Church going to go fishing? Ignore that thing flying around. Okay, how are we going to go fishing? Just tell me some ways. What are some ways we're going to go fishing? Marcia?
We're going to go across the street to the school.
Excellent. Excellent. Can you expound on that? How are you going to go across the street to the news club? Can you expound on that? Because I'm not in your world.
We get to share the gospel with children in a club after school every week, and then we have the opportunity to contact their families and ask them about the gospel if they'd like to come to the church.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Are you microphone shy?
No, I was just... So at Good News Club, we go across the street and we get to talk to the children at the school and share the gospel with them every week after school. And since we have to have permission from the parents, we also have a way to contact the parents and the families and show concern for them.
Mm-hmm.
We've asked them before what prayer requests we can take to our prayer meetings. And we've invited them to special events.
Excellent. Excellent. Keep it up. Go for it. What are some other ways? What are some other ways you can go fishing? Yeah, Lisa. Yeah, you can go door to door. You can go door to door. You know what makes going door to door easier for me? First of all, I do not like people coming to my door. I do not like it. Especially down there, there's a different... In Puerto Rico, you do not walk up to somebody's door and knock on the door. You stand on the street and you say, Buenos dias. And if they want to talk to you, they'll come outside. Okay? So if your JWs are there or some salesman's there, you just ignore them. And that's just the way it is. So what happens is that when I go door to door, I'm sitting out there thinking, that person won't talk to me either. Okay? So I feel this pressure. So what's something I do that takes off that pressure? If they'll come to the door, listen, are you interested? We paint houses for free. What happens to that person? Change. Just right there, change. Okay? Doors open, it's easier to talk, you know. And I don't at that point necessarily go through, you know, all the points of the gospel. That's not what I'm doing at that point in time. It just depends. Maybe God will open a door. Maybe God will open a door at a later time. You know, but it's just, it's providing opportunities. Handyman ministry, same thing. What are some thoughts? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
In the spirit of not pressuring them,
yeah,
and coming right down, oh, well, this is my chance to share the gospel with you. If they say to you, well, why are you doing this? What's your response?
I would probably share something about the love of God. That's what I would do. Yeah. You know, just, and you know what? Seriously, God's produced that in me so I can honestly say it. Some years back, I couldn't have said that. But now it's just, God has just produced in me a desire to help others and desire to share his love. And so that's what I would say. Yeah. Okay. I have a little booklet. I have several books, and they're just called Servant Ministries, Servant Evangelism. And you can go online. There's all kinds of ideas. It's just something to think about, okay? One of you, I think it was you guys, right? You were looking through some of those ideas. There's 99 ideas. You can go online. There are churches that just give themselves to servant evangelism. That's what they do. I forget the name of that church. There's a line of Baptist churches, and that's their thing, is servant evangelism. And so they're just looking for ways. And I just remember this guy, he said his favorite way of serving the community was simply going out to different establishments and cleaning toilets. That was his favorite. You know, the look on people's faces, we want to serve you. You know, something like that. So that one might be something that you guys might want to think about. Servant evangelism, how can we do that? It just opens doors. It opens doors. Okay. All righty. Let's jump back to the other. I'm going to get out of this. Let's go back to the gospel. Let's say, first of all, the points of the gospel. Okay? Can we do that again? Repetition is... Yeah, repetition. Okay, so let's do it again. God became man, died on the cross for our sins, rose again. I believe in him. He forgives me all my sins. Okay? Let's do the next one. Let's do the next one. I have a big God who's also holy and just. I'm a sinner. Yeah, Christ died on the cross for our sins. Yeah, rose again. Salvation is a free gift. It's a free gift. We become small, right? You just raise an empty hand, okay? Now, as I walk through this, these are just things that kind of remind me, okay, as I'm talking with somebody, because you might start here and jump, you know, okay? But there's just kind of the main points that I want to communicate. So when I'm talking to somebody, when I talk about my great God, tell what God has done for you. Tell what God has done. What has God done for you because of your salvation? Anybody care to say, what has God done for you? What has God done for you?
Healed me of
addiction
to pornography.
Okay.
He allowed me to live long enough to understand who he is.
God is very gracious to you.
Yes.
Okay.
He did a miracle in me 5 years ago and I had brain aneurysm.
Excellent. Sure. Excellent. Sure. Jimmy. Okay, yeah. I can look and I can say, boy, many times I know. One time I was driving, I went over a bridge, and I know I was supposed to get on the highway or the interstate, and all of a sudden confusion entered my mind, and I drove right past, and I thought, you dummy, what'd you do that for? I turned around, and right then my steering went out. And I said, thank you, Lord, you know. Another time I was going down the road, and a guy was coming straight at me. I was 16. And a guy came, mail truck came straight at me. And the last minute, you know, you're calm, cool, you don't matter when you're 16. And at the last minute, I pulled over on the shoulder, and he went past me. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, how about times when he supplied for you, taking care of you? Yeah.
He allowed Michelle to come back from the brink of death.
Yes.
Stay with us.
Yeah. Tell what God has done. I have a great God. Great God. Now, if I need to, I like to throw in a verse, Galatians 5:22. What's God like? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is. That's what God is like, right? I have a great God. What is God like? I write that down, Galatians 5:22. By the way, I emailed this document to Bob, okay? It's in your inbox. So if anybody wants a copy of this, it's just this handout, and get it from him. Okay? All right? So what is my God like? Well, tell what your God is like. This is what my God is like. You know, salt makes people thirsty. Make them thirsty. Okay? And all right, so I have a big God who is also holy and just. What's an example of how holy God is? Well, here's one. They're nailing him to the cross, and what's he do? I'm not like that. I'm a sinner. Right? Write it down. Yep. Jesus prayed for them on the cross, prayed for his enemies on the cross. Oh, yeah, Peter. Yeah. 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 Yeah, we're more like Peter. Yeah. Okay. So, index finger, I am a sinner. And you know, we all look at ourselves. I can say this to people. You know, we all look at ourselves. Yes, we're good people. We're all good people. Even all the worst guys in prison, we're all good people. Okay? We're all good people. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous. But when God looks at us, he doesn't say that we're all good. He says, none righteous. Yep, Romans 3:10. Yep. Psalm 2 says that?
No, not Psalm 2. I'm saying it's in Psalm.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's also like this. Bible says God helps those who help themselves. That's the most quoted verse in Puerto Rico. Not in the Bible. Nope, not in the Bible.
No, what are you saying? Paul, when Paul said there's none righteous, than the one who's quoting the Psalm.
Thank you. Yes. I'm not doubting you. I just don't know which one it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I might say there's none righteous, no, not one, or I might use Bob's favorite verse for doing this, which is Romans 6:23.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
So I like to use that.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. By the way, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Why doesn't he say the consequences of sin is death? Thank you. When a baby is born with AIDS, that's the consequences of sin. We're not in a situation of consequence. We earned it. We earned it. Okay? And then what I'll jump into is there's two deaths, right? So the wages of sin is death. What's the second death? I'm gonna spend a little bit of time on this one, okay? There's two deaths. What's the second death, and what verse tells me about that? Yeah, but what? Yes, exactly. Right, lake of fire. Where do I find that verse? 20:14. Yeah, yeah. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And everyone whose name was not written in the book of life was thrown in or something like that. Right. Mm-hmm. There's more, but that's good. We're also running out of time. When I get to my middle finger, Jesus died for my sins and rose again. We're going to talk about, it depends on who you're talking to, but you might need to emphasize. For example, if I'm working with a JW, that's as far as I can get. You know, God became a man. You cannot be saved without believing God became a man. There's no salvation. If you don't believe that Jesus is God and man, there's no salvation. Okay? 1 John, you have to believe that. It's part of what you believe. Okay? Okay. Right. Right, right. He took on a spirit or something like that. Right. Okay. Okay. Right. So, yeah. 100% one, 100% God, 100% man. What did he do? We were talking about that. He died and rose from my sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Beautiful verse. Beautiful verse. Bob, I suppose at some time you've shared this, but Evangelist Explosion, this is from the old days, but they say, imagine that you have a black book, you know, and it's full of all of your sin, okay? Now, if it's Brian, it'd be a USB with links, okay? So all these sins, okay? And what happens is that my sin separates me from God. Yeah, but God made him who had no sin to be sin. So he took all of my sin, right? God placed sin on Jesus. And 1 Peter's going to say the same thing, okay? He himself bore our sin in his body on the cross. We might live sin, die to something like that, okay? All righty. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Okay. I'll have to get away from imputation. Ring finger. Salvation is a free gift. Right. Listen, guys, there's all kinds of examples you can throw in here. All kinds of examples. That it's a free gift. You can jump to Ephesians 2:8-9. It's beautiful. Beautiful. It's just wonderful. There's so much truth there. Or John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in who sent me, he does not come into condemnation. Yeah, we're translating from Spanish. Does not come to condemnation. He's crossed over from death to life. Just so many things you can just jump in and throw in, okay? I look for examples, though, like a gift. If, for example, if I were to give you, I'm not going to do this, but if I were to give you this, what do you have to do? You have to accept it.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's what we do with Christ, okay? And then obviously the last one, the little finger, you humble yourself. Here's a good example. So Hunter writes me a check for $1 million. Pay the order, Robert Schneider. Yeah. So, by the way, my bank doesn't like Bob Schneider because my name isn't Bob. So they give me a hard time with that. So Robert is what I'm saying. There you go. That's just as good. But anyway, so Hunter gives me a check for $1 million, and I take it and I put it on my mirror. Right? Just examples. They're just things that help us talk to people. Okay, what good is that check? It's no good. You got to cash it. So here Jesus is, and he's offering you forgiveness, eternal life, and what do you have to do? You got to cash it. Yeah, you got to accept it. Those are just illustrations. Okay? So anyway, hey, kids aren't here yet. All right, let's do the two hands again, okay? And then we'll close with that. Maybe there's any questions. You know, if there's questions, you can ask me afterwards. All right. God became a man, died on the cross for our sins, rose again. I trust in him. He forgives me all my sin. Okay? Let's do the other one. I have a big God who's just and holy. I'm a sinner, right? And all of that. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, rose again. Salvation's a free gift. He becomes small, right? Becomes small and just you hold out an empty hand, right? Okay? Good? All right. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? May the Lord give us opportunities and boldness and wisdom that we might be able to reach other people. Isn't that precious? Seriously, it is precious when you think, wow, God used me, that person's going to heaven, and I was able to have a part in that. That is precious. Precious. Okay, we're going to pray. Okay. Thank you, Father, for this weekend. Thank you for the body here. It's a very sweet body. Thank you for them, God, and just the opportunity to spend time together. Thank you. We thank you for your word, God, your word live and active, sharper than any sword. And we just, you know, as Paul said, we might be chained, but the word of God isn't chained. And we just thank you, God, for giving us these things and the spirit of God and the love of God and just so many things. Thank you, God. It's just been so sweet to hear your word and to sing to Jesus. And we just thank you. Look forward to the future when our hearts will be pure. Won't be any pride or anger or anything evil. And we'll just be there and just be able to sing and sing and sing and on pitch always. We'll always know the tune and harmony and just be really, really nice. We thank you. In the meantime, God, that you would help us because we struggle. Yeah, we struggle with being, we have a hard time sometimes opening our mouths. You know, provide opportunities and it's hard to take them. All of us. That's what Paul said, pray for me, I might have boldness. And so, God, that you would help us. Help us, Lord, as opportunities come or as we look for opportunities. Help us to be bold and wise. God bless us. Pray now that you would raise up specifically, Lord, some people at Family Bible Camp or Family Bible Church who would just have that gift and just go to town. Not only use it themselves, but maybe bring others along. God bless and help them with that. Pray for us, you'd help us to get back to Puerto Rico. Pray that you'd shut down that hurricane and you just your blessings. We need your help. And pray also, God, as we go back, as we travel back home today, as we're all heading over to Augusta, And you just give us all safety, God, and good times and fellowship in the car, and you bless us. And Lord, we look to you always. And we just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.